You are listening to Comedy Store Wrestling.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the world famous Comedy Store here in Hollywood, California for another episode of Comedy Store Wrestling. My name is Eddie Torres, and with me as always, the inappropriate one, Earl Skakel.
And no, we did not plan to wear matching Motorhead shirts. We are not the Golden Lovers.
To be fair, mine is a Jushin Thunder Liger shirt.
Oh, that's how blind I am. Yeah, I thought it was a Motorhead.
It is a Motorhead design, though, for sure. But we are being joined today by a special guest, friend of mine that I've known for a few years now. Formerly an announcer at New Japan, currently the ring announcer for PWG. Also, you can see him on appearances on MLW. Christian Cole, how are you, brother?
What's up, man? Honored to be here. Thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm happy that you're here. There's a lot to talk about. We're going to ask you some questions, but then we'll get into some stories about what's happening in the wrestling world, as always. But tell me how, you know, let's just right off the gate, MLW, I know I saw you post that you did some commentary, you know, how did that happen? And, you know, tell me about it.
Yeah, it was cool. I just got a call actually from their world heavyweight champ. So Hammerstone, you guys are familiar
with
him, who's been the champ there for like, I think a couple of years now.
Yeah.
He gave me a call and was like, hey, man, you know, we're in need of a guy at the commentary booth, but it'll be on the West Coast primarily. And we have a trip coming up going to Tijuana. You know, would you be able to make it there? And I was like super stoked to do a show in Tijuana. So after Googling like how safe it was and to drive and walk across the border myself and get a cab and all that stuff, and that's a rabbit hole you probably don't want to go down.
Yeah, don't wear your Jordans. Maybe not wearing any fancy watches.
Right, and then because I'm a commentator, like I'm like kind of dripped out in suit, in a nice suit and all this kind of stuff. So I had to hide all that in my bag. But
yeah.
But actually, once I crossed the border, man, it was awesome. I got extorted for $20 at the border because I had an expired passport, which in Mexico is resolvable with $20.
Yeah, most small issues like that are.
Yeah.
But who stops you? Like a border guard?
Yeah. Like when they're going through customs and he noticed that my passport was expired. So he's like, that'll be $20. And I was stoked. I thought he was going to hit me for like 100 or something.
Yeah.
So I just eagerly pulled the 20 out and then continued on my way, you know?
Yeah. Every time I got pulled over in New Mexico, they're like, yeah, $20 will solve the issue. I'm like, oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Just put $20 in like each part of your body so that, you know, like your sock and then.
Yeah, you just pull it out of nowhere. You go.
Well, how much is $20 in Mexico right now? It's probably like 100 to them, like, right?
I don't know how much it is in pesos.
Yeah.
I don't know what the conversion is.
I think it's 100 pesos for $5. So 20 would be 400 pesos.
Yeah.
That sounds like a lot.
Yeah, that if you say it that way, it's a lot.
400
for sure.
Pesos. Yeah, yeah, man. You know, also you used to be Scorpio Sky's manager, manager.
Yeah.
I wanted to bring that up because I know Earl's a big fan of heel managers.
I love him and I love heel managers.
Yeah. Yeah, I love Sky too and I love heel managers. I think suffice it to say that like Bobby Heenan was the reason I got into pro wrestling. As a kid, I was like an Ultimate Warrior guy. But as I started to get older, are you a Warrior guy, dude?
He's my favorite.
So good.
And I met him.
Have you ever watched his stuff on Shrooms before?
I've watched his hour-long shoot video on Hogan, and it's the greatest thing.
Have you done it on Shrooms?
No, I've never done anything.
Never done anything.
But that's another podcast.
Holy shit.
So I hear it. I see everything through 100% sobriety.
Yeah.
And his, have you seen his, he interviews himself.
The Warrior.
In his garage, and it's an hour nonstop of shit-talking on Hogan. And it calls him by his real
name.
Was
he in his 50s already at this point?
Yeah, he was probably early 50s and pretty bitter. This is before he forgave everyone and then died a day later.
The next day, yeah.
But it's his bitterness is fueling him.
Yeah.
And then he let it go and he died a day later. So I'm afraid to let go of my bitterness.
Yeah, stay bitter. That's the
100%.
Message.
100%.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, Warrior was my guy. And then like what I realized was I wasn't ever going to be the Ultimate Warrior, right? You know, I don't have the bone density, let's say, to get up to his level.
You could.
You know, maybe.
Enough juice so you can get anywhere.
But what I decided was like, who could I emulate? You know what I mean? How could I get into the business? And it was Bobby Heenan for me. And then obviously like with this recent decade, it's been Paul Heyman. It's been a big inspiration to how you can promote wrestling, how you can make wrestling cool, how you can make it interesting and tell these stories without necessarily being a wrestler. So all respect to all those dudes. It just wasn't for me. Yeah. But Heyman and Heenan and those types of talkers who would sell pay-per-views without really doing much bumping. Love those guys.
I mean, I'm a Gary Hart man.
Just Gary Hart.
I mean, he's a little older.
Yeah, yeah.
But just when his promos when he's managing Abdullah the Butcher, who, you know, didn't talk.
Right.
And literally would just chew on a microphone for, like, to scare people. And to have Gary Hart speaking in jive. And he was a pretty white-looking guy.
Yeah.
Just, I really appreciated his enthusiasm for wrestling.
Yes.
Yeah. Man. No, tell me a little bit about your history with PWG, because I mean, for anybody that's watching, you know, PWG, if you're not aware, is the indie fed, but it's basically where all of the talent that you know and love from AEW went through. That pretty yeah. much, right?
Yeah, yeah.
All the Bucks and, you know,
yeah,
Sami
my first
Zane
show was Kevin Steen and Generico, which is Sami Zayn.
Yeah.
In a tag match with the Bucks. You know, that was like my first introduction. I introduced that match.
That's amazing.
At a show in 2013. And then my relationship with them developed, you know, after that. And yeah, I mean, it's just, I take a lot of pride in being a part of PWG because it has this history, you know, that was started by Super Dragon and, you know, a lot of those Excalibur, a lot of those guys from 15 years ago. Most of them have big money contracts at this point, you know, the ones who were able to break through. So we had everybody there from Kyle O'Reilly, Adam Cole. I mean, whether you're looking at the who's who of the industry today have gone through the doors at PWG. And I could feel it when I'm there, man. You could feel the history. You could feel how important each show is to the future of the business. And I love being a part of it. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. So.
Well, how do you feel about seeing like KO and Sammy now being main eventing WrestleMania and with the PWG logo on their
yeah.
fucking gear and shit like
yeah.
that, you know, that good for business for you?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think I've actually, you know, debated it a little bit with the board of directors over at PWG on whether it's a good thing to have WWF, as he calls it, like talking about how good we are and how cool it is, you know, with them wearing that the gorilla on their gear at this WrestleMania. For me personally, I think it's humongous. I think it's awesome. And I love that these guys are making millions of dollars traveling the world, and they're still paying homage to the American Legion Post in Reseda and to the Globe Theater where we do our shows now. So I love it. I think the reason it is what it is, why PWG has the lore, is because it is supposed to be sort of that speakeasy, you know, only you know type of vibe. So maybe not everybody loves getting mentions from WWE superstars. but I know, you know, where money is made, and that's where money is made, is getting that credit from those guys. And kudos to them to give us shout outs like 10 and 20 years later. It's pretty cool. They don't have to do that. And yeah. I find it to be special, actually. So.
I wonder what the percentage is for the fans that actually know what that was. Because I popped because I know you, because I've been there, and I know what that gorilla is, you know? But I wonder, you know, how many people were like, what is that? What do they keep talking about, you know, in California and blah, blah, blah? You know, I wonder if they actually went out of their way to, like, look that up. Because PWG has this allure to it where it's the hot spot.
Yeah.
It's the, you know, tickets sell out instantly, and they're like 80, they're not cheap. It's 80, yeah. 80 bucks, 100 bucks a ticket, sold out immediately within minutes, and all the celebrities want to be there. Like,
yeah.
How did that happen? How did that become like the hot spot for celebrities to like pop in?
I think celebrities in Los Angeles all have like this one thing in common, which is basically like they're so used to the bright lights and the paparazzi and the cameras being on them that they want that underground feeling. They want to go into the speakeasy and be unseen and be in the shadows of a show, of an indie show with 450 people sold out, right?
Like, yeah.
So you see Adam Jones, you see the Pantera, like you see like different band members from all these legendary bands, Motorhead. I've never seen any of them there. That would have been dope. If they
good had, luck with that.
Yeah. Just imagine Lemmy like in the first round with, you know, enjoying PWG. That would have been funny, but... but yeah, anyway, I think the celebrities like to be there because it's underground, and celebrities like to go places where, you know, maybe they're not the center of attention that these sort of underground indie wrestlers are. And we get a ton of respect from a lot of the actors and actresses of Hollywood who come through and see the show, and Topanga and like a bunch of other, I could go on and on about the names, but it's really fun, man, to see them in there and seeing them enjoy our work after we just go see them in a movie, like a Marvel movie or whatever it is, you know.
Hell yeah.
It's pretty badass.
Hell yeah. How do you see, I mean, I haven't been to a PWG show in a while, and, you know, thank you for taking me to my first one. And to make it even more speakeasy, it was like through the back alley. Met you in an alley somewhere.
I went to one, I'm trying to think of the main event. It was, I think it was Daniel Garcia.
Cool.
Against Takeshita.
Yeah.
And I would love to go to another one because it was, I went with a bunch of LA Kings, and they were loving it. Like
hockey players?
Hockey players. It's the same thing. You know, they loved that no one knew who they were.
Yeah.
You know, and they could just watch and, you know, have a few beers maybe.
Yeah. The most famous guy in the room usually is a guy who's, like, struggling on the indies, barely has probably $4,000 in his account. Like they're the famous ones there, these dudes who are absolutely scraping to get to that WWE level. And it seems like Eddie would tell you, like, they all end up there.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, whether it's Bandido, who's been our world champion this last, you know, year, Wesley is his new name, but the Rascals, like, they were our tag team champs.
Yeah, Malachi Black, or Tommy End was
his name at one point. So, yeah, I absolutely adore PWG, and I appreciate you asking about it, man.
Where do you think it is now? Like, because they've poached so much of the talent. AEW or WWE have taken pretty much a whole school of it. How is it now? Do you think the upcoming class of young talent is going to be the same way, up to par? I mean, where do you see the industry?
What's weird is because I don't have, like, that foresight, you know, when I'm there doing the shows and getting dudes' weights and names and where their cities are from, and we're putting them over in the ring and the lights hit, like, you don't know who's going to, you know, make it. But it almost feels like everybody does. So it's like, even as recently as in Bola, like, we have a tournament every year where, you know, all these guys face off, and then there's one championship winner, or tournament winner, who gets a championship shot down the road, you know. And while that's going down, I'm like, who of these guys are actually going to get there? But I've been asking that question for 15 years, and they all make it there. They all get to that level. Whether they stay there, that's, you know, obviously up to them, and a combination of the politics that are in wrestling and that kind of thing. But they all end up getting there somehow. And so it's pretty cool to watch. So, yeah, everybody that's on these shows will eventually make it there.
All right. Is there anyone in particular that we may not have heard of that you have seen in PWG? You're like, that guy's going to...
Well, it's hard because most of the people who are watching this podcast are going to know about AEW and WWE. And so they've seen, like, the names I'm thinking of right off the bat, which is Bandido and Hijo del Vikingo.
Oh, my God.
Those two guys are, like, on our roster most currently that I think are just going to be absolutely, you know, mega stars in our industry at some point. You know, Jack Cartwheel is another guy who's blowing up right now. And Jack Cartwheel, you know, when you watch him, he actually defies physics. Like, what you see from him isn't real, and yet it's really happening in front of you. And so Jack is incredible. And, yeah, I mean, you know, there's even guys who have come back to the company, like the Motor City Machine Guns. You know, both of them have stopped by. You know, so there's guys who have done wrestling for 20 years who started in PWG who circle back and make their way in. Cody Rhodes, on his way to becoming the American Nightmare right after leaving WWE, one of his first stops was in PWG, working our Bola in that tournament. And you see what happened to him. He was able to reinvent himself. So it's crazy to me how like people talk about the indie wrestling audience being so small and so niche. But that's honestly where stars have been made this last decade. You know, if you go to Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns and some of these guys, they're in that FCW generation that was really sort of helped to be made through WWE. I mean, Rollins had a great run in ROH. And, you know, but my point really becomes that, like, the best characters are now are coming out of the indies, I think. Like, and you could, you know, it started with AJ Styles kind of keeping his name and going to WWE and not having to change. But now that's going on a lot. You know, AEW's... I take a ton of pride and respect in saying that they're willing to bring in guys and let them keep their name, whether it's like Action Andretti or Scorpio Sky or all these guys who, you know, really made noise in the indies, and not saying, we're going to change you. We're going to actually let you be you and make yourself into an even bigger star. And that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's an approach that, you know, the music industry does. Like, that's more of my expertise, but building your own audience. So these bands or these wrestlers spend years building their own fan base, and then when they go get made, you know, to change it. Like, the music industry wants you to do that. They want you to build your fan base, and then they'll just, you know, throw you over the line of just struggling.
Yeah.
Where I feel like, you know, WWE is like, oh, we want to own the rights. So all of that shit you just did doesn't matter because now your name is Bo Bum Bum.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's awful, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't always work out the creative side of, like, changing someone's name. Sometimes it's best to just kind of let them be them.
Yeah.
You know, Walter's an example of somebody where it's worked out okay. I mean, Gunther wasn't a huge change
name-wise. I refuse to call him Gunther. Fuck that, dude. It's Walter. God damn it. That's Walter. But yeah.
Yeah, I love Walter, man. I mean, talk about, you know, bringing prestige back to the Intercontinental Championship, right? I mean, when you watch him defend that title, he looks like he's in a fight every single time. That's one of my favorite things about wrestling. I know we started off with Ultimate Warrior. He didn't always look like he was in a fight, but...
he was limited in his moments. Even though, like, we're marks for him. Like,
yeah.
Like
limited,
You know, I think he was gassed out by the time he got to the ring.
Yeah, more than one way. But
yeah.
But no, yeah, guys like who look like they could be in a fight are some of my favorite guys. And PWG really, like, encapsulates that style. Where it's like, these dudes are beating the shit out of each other. Like, that's pretty cool to watch. And it proves your toughness. And I think indie wrestling and PWG specifically proves your toughness, your mental toughness, your physical toughness, and how you know, whether you can go. And that's why I love indie wrestling. I think I'll always love indie wrestling because it shows the guys who can go. You know?
I mean, I sat in the balcony for that show. I think it was at the Globe. And I was like, wow, this looks real. Like, they really...
They lay it in.
Yeah, I mean, it was not like WWE, like, you know.
And no one's told that. Like, no one shows up to PWG and goes to, you know, the board of directors and says, how do you want me to wrestle here? It's just kind of known. Like, as soon as you walk through the door, you know it's a hard-hitting style. You're there to get those oohs and ahs from the violence. And I think everyone's better for it. You know what I mean? So...
Yeah, it's like Stu Hart trained all these guys.
Yeah.
So. So I guess it's safe to say you're preferred out of the big two that are in the battle for the ratings. You lean towards more AEW because of the people that are involved.
I think it's just like an overall better product personally. Like, they're certainly not competing for the ratings. I think anybody who tells you that's full of shit. You know.
Oh, right.
I
mean, yeah.
Yeah. The WWE is a massive, empire. AEW is just trying to break that $1 million or million view, you know, count on a Wednesday night. But AEW to me has allowed wrestlers to be happier in their jobs, and I think that WWE is coming around on that, and I think we'll see that more. But classically, a lot of people in WWE have suffered from, you know, mental health problems, depression, having your job held over your head at all times. It could be really bad for a lot of guys that I know. And I care about these guys. You know what I mean? And so it's tough. And obviously they've made stars too. And I think WWE does a better job of making stars. You know what I mean? So maybe there's like a trade-off you have to deal with if you want to blow up. But with AEW, I've noticed that there's a lot of creative freedom for these guys. And that to me is what the industry should be, right? Like, wrestling is supposed to have a part of you in it. It's not supposed to be, like, a perfect example is LA Knight, right? Where they turned him into this Max Dupree character. And it was like, you know, as he's one of my dearest friends. And so, like, it was one of the lowest moments as a friend of a wrestler that I've had, was just watching them try to ruin this guy. And then now you see him doing what he's been doing for the last, you know, 15 years. And the audience is eating it up. They love every single thing about LA Knight. How do you not? He's a 10 on the mic. He's got the body of a 10, you know, 10 body. His matches are in the, if you're a Meltzer guy, in the upper stars of matches,
star.
Right? And there's something about LA Knight to me that is a megastar. He's a throwback, but he's also got enough of that youthful spirit and kind of keeps in touch with, and he's hip, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm hoping he wins Money in the Bank. I don't know if we're
talking about it. It's going to be Logan Paul.
It's probably going to be Logan Paul. But I'm rooting for my man, LA
Knight.
Yeah,
hell yeah, dude. Yeah. He was one of the few that hung out here when we had the WWE in the house, and he took pictures and came back out after, like, just to watch a show and just chill. So
yeah.
we're big fans of LA Knight here. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I like him because he reminds me of a combo of Rick Rude and Mr. Perfect. That.
See, you know. I get The Rock, Austin, and Rick Rude a little bit from him. I definitely get the Rick Rude one. But yeah, he's just like this amalgamation of all of my favorite wrestling things.
I love it when, like, they're like three different, and he's got he walked through this hallway, and, like, even if you didn't like wrestling, you're like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
Not just because he's a giant dude, but he has an energy to him when he walks in a room where he all eyes are on him.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, final thing before we get into some stories and news of the wrestling world. What would be a match that you would like to maybe call as a commentator? What would be a dream
commentary
match?
Commentary? Ultimate Warrior versus Sting.
Whoa. Oh, man.
Yeah. The Blade Runners.
The Blade Runners.
That would be a rough match. I mean...
Dude, that's part of what I like about commentating, though, is when you can help, you know what I mean? If you can help. Sometimes shit can't be saved, you know? But if you can help, then I love... And obviously, I'm just a huge mark for both of right. those guys, so yeah.
I mean, outside of Kamala, those are my two favorites.
Yeah.
A singles match between those two would be pretty rough.
Yeah, it'd be
like,
bad.
I mean, maybe toward the end of their, you know, like WCW, when they brought Warrior in 98... If you had someone
the
call
one
it.
Warrior nation and the
I was down with that.
Me
with
too,
the,
man.
The OWN. Disciple has just like dude. Stolen. Like, yeah, it was pretty. I mean,
that is funny, dude.
Oh, I mean, that first. I'm not gonna lie to you. When he came back, like, how would you do that? Let's say let's transport back into the early days of their career. You know, it's two guys who don't have a lot of moves. Mm. Like, how would you go about making that an exciting call for the fans?
Well, I mean, no one could do it better than Monsoon and Heenan did it.
Yeah.
That's just and even Vince, I used to love Vince's commentary.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you just put over all their high qualities. I mean, I think that really is what the job is in pro wrestling commentary, right? It's more important to just sort of help to get the product to be as cool and as interesting as possible. And not every moment in every match is interesting, and not every dude who comes through the curtain is interesting. But yeah, your job is to help that. Not too many guys, you know. Well, especially in the indies, we'll spend time burying, you know, the indie talent. And it's just because they don't really know what the job is. The job is to get them over, is to help, you know, protect the product, you know, and get these guys to look like stars, as you know, in places maybe that they're not able to do themselves, right. You know. So
is it hard to call? I know we're going to bring up these two guys, but like,
yeah.
Say you were calling Omega and Ospreay, who like have such an amazing chemistry.
Your two faves.
They are... You might disagree with me. I've never seen two guys have the chemistry they have in ring, and their promos almost seem like they were written together. Like, when you have two guys like that who are, like, amazing, do you not talk as much? Or
yeah,
like...
that's exactly right. I mean, that's my philosophy, you know? My philosophy is always to lay out more when less is needed. Or when, yeah, right? When less is needed.
I went to USC. I don't know what you're
I don't know.
I'm lost
yeah.
already.
but yeah, and so, yeah, to lay out a little bit, let things breathe, let the wrestlers tell the story sometimes is important. And yeah, and that's what I try to do at MLW in this recent show because there was just so much talent on the show. You know, and so that is a letting things breathe and letting things kind of do their own storytelling is part of it for sure. Yeah.
If you were to put together a commentary team, not including yourself, obviously, yeah. but, you know, of current from both companies, what is a three-man team that you would, like, who's doing it the best for you that you would want in a team like that?
Gotcha. You know what? I really like Excalibur. Yeah, so he's awesome. So he's my number one in terms of leading the broadcast. Not only is he going to be able to call the moves and everything perfectly every time, but he's really good at throwing, at transitioning, at segueing into the next segment, at covering for certain shit that's not going well with the broadcast. Mm. A lot of people don't realize that, but when you have a trained eye, you can see it all happening while it's unfolding live. Mm. And Excalibur deserves my number one spot on my broadcast team. Trying to think of who else would be there. I would probably have to color it up with a heel. You know, I would probably put LA Knight as my second commentator.
Oh, that'd be great.
You know, I really believe in a heel commentary presence in a commentary team, and I do think that having one of your best talkers and one of your best heel wrestlers, I know he's kind of getting over as a babyface, but...
Not according to the pumped in booze.
Yeah, which by the way, if you ever listen to it on YouTube, like I'll go on my computer and listen to Raw with the headphones on, it's really pumped in.
Yeah.
Like, it's really bad.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Yeah. You don't notice it on the TV through the TV speakers, but when you put the headphones on, it sounds really bad.
It's pretty obvious.
It's like some of those Goldberg chants back in the day.
Yeah.
Like, all right, man.
But I was there in 97, man, and we were chanting Goldberg through the roof, brother.
Yeah. So Excalibur, yeah. LA Knight.
Excalibur, LA Knight, and I'd probably put Paul Heyman as my third.
Oh, wow.
So two heels, maybe. If Excalibur, I mean, LA Knight could be a little bit of that tweener presence.
Tweener.
And then, he, you know, but like, I mean, Heyman is just like...
Yeah.
You know, and I like guys who are controversial too. Like I like when shit is controversial and very believable in moments, and when people say shit they're not supposed to say. Like that's my favorite kind of wrestling. So yeah, I think Paul's that guy to do that, you know.
That's why I liked Ventura in his heyday.
Dude,
like,
oh man.
Totally.
I mean, what he called Tito Santana a taco vendor. Like I'm like even back then it was like, oh boy, I don't know. I know it's the 80s, but man, that's pretty rough.
That's pretty rough.
Jesse would be a great person to bring back to wrestling he's in his twilight, you know, obviously of his life, and why not have him there too? I mean, just having a total psychopath like that is just it's just perfect for business. If I'm booking, I'm bringing Jesse back to my company. Yeah. You know?
Because I was on Amazon the other night, and there was a documentary on Plato's Retreat. And that was that t-shirt he used to wear.
Yeah.
I never understood what that was as a kid. And it was a sex club in New York that had orgies. And he would come to the ring in that bedazzled Plato's Retreat. I'm like, Jesus, bro.
That's wild, man.
I mean, you know, if I had a body like that or a face like that or a personality like that, why not go to all the brothels?
Oh, I'm sure he did quite well.
All right, let's hop into some news stories. There's a lot going on. I'll start with AEW because we've been talking about them and everything. So Collision happened.
It did.
Collision happened on Saturday, and it was a night of returns. Our good buddy Miro was back on TV. Very exciting to see him completely destroy Tony Nese.
Who I love as a heel, Tony Nese.
He's a good
Nese.
Guy, like, and yeah, but yeah, completely like destroyed.
He's like the perfect jobber heel. Like, he's just funny to me.
Yeah.
But I don't, I mean, do you think, could you see a guy like him elevating beyond just being a jobber humor guy? Or
no.
Okay.
I mean, he's got a good body, but yeah, I don't know, man.
You know, I mean, it's just saying, like sometimes it's like you just kind of seen what a guy can do. It's like Derek Carr with the Raiders. You just kind of seen what he could do. Yeah. And, you know, I absolutely think Tony has value. But you asked if he can elevate to a certain, you know, like whether it's world champion or singles champion. You know, I think he would need a guy like me, to be honest, to promote him, to be his heel manager. And I think we can get him over easily. But by himself and the way they've booked him, not so, it's not headed in that direction, you know.
Yeah, Andrade also came back and did his wife's. His wife? Are they married?
Charlotte. Yeah, they're married.
Yeah, so he did his wife's figure eight to finish the match. Buddy Matthews also did Rhea's weird lock thing that she does with the legs. So a lot of paying respect to your significant other going on there. But great match, I think, with Andrade and Buddy Matthews. Scorpio Sky.
Buddy Murphy, by the way.
Matthews Murphy.
Well, they announced him as Buddy Murphy. I think I forget her name. The ring.
They botched the announcement.
She botched the announcement, but you know, she hit him with the Buddy Murphy, which.
Woo!
Yeah.
Oh boy,
that's a scary. You know, that's hard to tread. You know.
I hate the name overall. I mean, I know it's his name and all that, but like, I wouldn't want to be Buddy.
You want to tell him?
Look, man, I just don't know of a world champion named Buddy.
If he was in here
right Buddy.
Now.
Hey, Buddy.
What's crazy is he does have like a lot of the makeup of a world champion, too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Buddy, you know, he's good in the mic.
Yep.
I don't know. It's just, anyway.
He's almost too big for me. Like, he's so well, he's agile, but like, he doesn't look like he should, like, he's thick, man.
Yeah.
I thought you liked him thick, Earl.
That's another podcast.
Oh, man. All right. So that was that. Our friend Scorpio Sky had a video return package. I don't think he wasn't on the show itself, though.
No.
Just a video package of his return, which is good. I mean, we've actually texted back and forth trying to get him in here, and he's like, I don't have anything going on yet, but now he does. I'm glad that he's got something going on. He's recovered from the knee injury as well.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see him. I'm excited that Collision exists to give these stars some TV
time.
What
do you think it's going to like do okay on Saturdays? Because it seems like a weird time slot.
It's a weird time slot. And, you know, the first episode I'm sure did well because of the controversy and everybody wants to see what CM Punk's going to say and all this stuff. But I guess the real test is going to be in the next couple weeks to see how they do because it's a tough slot, man. Everybody's out on Saturday partying. Nobody's watching wrestling.
Yeah, Saturday is not classically a TV evening.
Yeah.
And then when you look at Saturday as well, in terms of like they're going to be competing up against, you know, UFC pay-per-views, WWE pay-per-views, boxing pay-per-views. So yeah, it'll be interesting. I don't understand the decision to make the show on a Saturday night. But I thought they knocked it out of the park in week one. It's just going to be hard to replicate that week after week after week.
Yeah.
I'm concerned about it, you know.
Yeah, it's a little concerning, man. I mean, I would have gone with a different night of the week. Then I've also would have gone with a different intro song. They chose to go with Elton John, so Elton John is all elite. But Saturday night is all right for fight. It's you're closing it now. You're stuck with Saturday nights unless you change the song. And I would have personally chosen Faith No More's Collision because it fits the whole vibe overall way way better. It's more intense. It sounds like there are other songs that they have on the show. You know, yeah. I don't know if you've ever heard that song, but go home and look up Faith No More's Collision and tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah, that's Mike Patton.
Yeah, Mike Patton.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I would have chosen that. But anyway.
That had to cost some money, though.
To get yeah. Elton John.
Kudos. Yeah.
You probably could have got Mike Patton for yeah, at least 60% of the...
cheaper. Yeah. And it fits better. What's going on? I need to be in charge of AEW's music department. Anyway. We also saw Wardlow lose his TNT title to Luchasaurus. I think that wasn't on Collision, was it? Or was that on Dynamite? I can't even
remember. I watch wrestling on Twitter, so I have no idea. What
was Collision.
Collision? Look, congrats to Luchasaurus. You know, I've seen him plenty in the local scene here in Southern California. He was here at the store performing as well for that old Storecade thing. Happy for him. However, that belt means nothing. Yeah. That belt means nothing. They keep switching it. Yeah. What's going on? Every other week, it's a new TNT champion. That belt should be way more elevated, you know, considering where it came from with Brody Lee and Cody and all these people.
Sky when he had the genie.
Sky,
belt.
Dude. Sky with the Lakers
the
theme.
And
oh,
gold
my
belt.
God.
Yep.
It's gone to shit, I think, since Sky. That was like the last one.
I haven't kept up enough to have an opinion, but what I do know is they have too many championships there.
They do. They keep hot-shotting it.
Yep.
It's just every other week they switch the champ. I don't know. Congrats, Luchasaurus, but hopefully he can elevate it. And even that, it's like Christian Cage took the belt and held it up and said, I'm the champion.
Yeah, the finish was
what?
I didn't understand it. I didn't understand the finish in the ring, and then I didn't understand the glory shot at the end, too, with Cage. You know, now I know they're trying to push Christian as, like, this major heel, and, like, it works. I mean, he's a piece of shit on TV,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
And he's really good at it, too. I read a tweet today that was like unpopular opinion, like Christian's comeback has been better than Edge's. And you can make that argument that potentially it is. Austin Luchasaurus is deserving of that opportunity to get the championship. And I don't usually love it when a dude finally gets that shine and the glory shot is just like treating him like
Christian
he's not
Cage.
Like
yeah.
He's not the star. So give him his shine, you know?
See, yeah. I thought he was going to turn on Christian. I thought he was going to do, like, the Batista drop on Orton. You know, I thought the way that shot was set up is, oh, he's going to drop him or something. But,
nope.
You know,
didn't
I don't
happen.
Know. It was a weird... I mean, I liked Collision, but I didn't think it helped advance any storylines. Like, it was a great wrestling show.
Yeah. Well, it helped the Brawl Out storyline.
Yeah, the great heel speech.
I'll get to it. Before I get to it, the announce team, what do you think about Nigel, Kevin Kelly, and JR?
Yeah, it felt like it was their first time announcing together as a team. I felt like JR drunkenly fucking fell on his face the night before.
Which happened.
Right, and so you could tell that from the broadcast there. And you could tell that with like the dynamics between the three of them that it was fresh. But with that said, like I love Nigel as a commentator. I love Kelly as a commentator, and JR's the GOAT. So it should be able to get figured out, and it felt like, you know, for a first show, it was actually pretty damn good.
Yeah.
But again, it just felt like jittery a little bit, like they were trying to still work out the who was going to take what part of the calls and who was going to color when. So it'll get better, and they're all legends, so that's good, you know.
Yeah, it was like ROH all over again. You had Samoa Joe and Punk in the ring, and you had Kevin Kelly and Nigel commentating. I mean, it's... You know, if you're a fan of ROH, it's a callback. And JR apologized in his defense and said he's taking some time off to heal. So, you know, good luck to him. I hope he recovers. That picture he posted was awful. I don't know if you saw it.
I did.
Big old...
It's really concerning.
Giant
man.
Hematoma, black and blue. Like, yeah, man. I mean...
It's like every other month he's...
I hope he has somebody.
Yeah, me too.
He needs a handler.
If you like, and you know, I mean, seriously, God bless him. Like, he lost his wife.
Yeah.
And, yeah, like,
I hope he's not
roaming around. Watching
over him.
Yeah.
He can't be around by himself, you know, at this point. But anyway, I was going to cut a full on promo on CM Punk, but I'm not going to do it.
Do it. Come on.
I will,
need the non promo.
I will break down his promo a little bit because I did decide I needed to break this down. A lot of people were very excited about Punk coming back. Anybody that watches the show knows I'm not a fan. So this following bit does not represent the Comedy Store. It's just my opinion. All right? In his promo, tired of being nice. When the fuck were you ever nice?
Never.
Never. No. He has never been nice. Then he follows that up with, tell me when I'm telling lies. Right now, when you said, I'm tired of being nice, you've never been nice. Also, he held a pair of sneakers up and called them boots, dude.
Yeah.
What the fuck was that?
Yeah.
I hated that. I'm the genuine article. You're a fucking poser, all right? You're a poser because you claim punk rock, but all you talk about is business and money. No punk rocker that I know gives a shit about business or money. So you're a poser. Top of that, tell me when I'm telling lies. I don't know. When you told us that you were going to prove us wrong in the octagon. How about that one?
Ooh.
Ooh.
That's tough, though.
So. Ooh. I don't give a shit.
I gave him credit because, you know, it takes a lot of balls to go in the MMA cage, you know.
Look, this promo is against Punk, not Phil Brooks. Phil Brooks, you're great as a human being, whatever. Also,
no, he's definitely not, by the way.
No, I know. I've heard the story.
I mean, I met him once. He's kind of a dick, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on.
Tried meeting him three times, and he's a dick every time.
This reconfirms my
You're like, oh. Yeah, wasn't just a bad mood, you know?
You call yourself the best in the world, and Dominic Mysterio can get more heel heat on the mic than you.
That's wild.
That's a problem.
That's a good point.
That's a big problem. You won't even give Kenta a fucking match at Forbidden Door for the move you stole from him, but you want to call people soft. Get out of here, dude. Calling people soft. Like, you break every time you get in the ring now. He gets an injury.
Ryan Nemeth's fucking tweet was my favorite tweet of the year.
I didn't see it.
Even say anything. He just subtweeted. He just basically wrote, literally the softest man ever. Or literally the softest man alive. That's all he wrote. And I'm just like, if you look at the guys, you know, and I'm not even going to say Ryan because I don't want to put words in his mouth. But a lot of the younger guys who are there, they're the ones who will tell you, dude, this guy's full of shit.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and there's a lot of guys. Like, my experience has been, and I'm just going to call him out, like Tommy Dreamer, right? Tommy Dreamer will talk all the shit about all the guys he wants to help. But in my experience, he was nothing but a fucking dick to me. You know what I mean? And if you look at a guy like, I'm not going to say Ryan, but if you look at guys like Ryan, younger guys working their ass off in the industry, Punk will get on TV and talk about how he wants to have matches with all them and help elevate them, and it couldn't be fucking further from the truth. And there are guys, again, that I won't name that are some of your favorite stars, you know, some of people watching favorite stars who have been just treated like shit and lambasted in the back by him. And it's really unfortunate that, you know, also, by the way, I find him interesting for TV, right? Interesting.
Yeah.
I told you from the beginning of the podcast, I fucking love controversy. I love it, dude. Give me more. You know what I mean? Make me feel like some shit is real. You know, I love that. But at the end of the day, I just found that there's just too many stories of too many guys saying this guy is full of shit and he's out for himself and he's, you know, I mean, I don't know. The whole fucking press conference, to me, it's just whack, dude. To air your dirty laundry like that, like, if you got a problem with the Bucks, if you got a problem with Matt or Nick or Adam Page, like, go talk to them. You know what I mean? To air it out like that, you knew what was going to happen.
Yeah.
And I think it's burying the fucking company.
Absolutely.
It's not... I think CM Punk being off TV for 10 months isn't why their numbers dipped. I think that he helped to assert that these guys are rookies and they're fucking jabronis and they're marks running a wrestling company.
And that's chaos.
And it's bullshit.
Yeah.
Because that whole philosophy is a 50-year-old philosophy. Punk's a 45-year-old guy. Like, to help perpetuate that old shitty philosophy of all the young guys are just full of shit, I'm the shit, you know, like... I hate it, bro.
Yeah.
So
I've never been a fan of Punk. I've never believed a word he said. And it's not, my hatred is not because he's a good heel, because he's not even a heel, is he? He's not. He's with the babyface.
Not since like the straight edge society. Yeah. Has he even been like a real fucking heel? Dude?
I just never ever liked anything he said. It felt fake. And his in-ring work was or whatever. It was okay. It was, you know, some matches were better than others. But what I missed a lot of his run in WWE, so what I saw was with the AEW run. I was like, you know what? Let me give him a chance.
Yeah.
Let me see what the big fucking deal is. I'll give a fresh, you know, clean slate. And he fucked all that up, too.
Yeah.
So stop it. Just do your thing, whatever you need to do to get it out of your fucking system, and leave.
Nah, he's not leaving.
There's, you know, like,
too much dollars, brother.
I mean, if he hasn't changed by now, it's not going to...
It ain't going to change.
I just feel bad for his fans that are going to be disappointed eventually when he breaks another fucking bone in his body. That's all.
What's his beef with Adam Page? Because that hasn't really been talked about a lot. So we know about the Bucks and Omega, but like, what's...
Well, Hangman came out and did a kind of a shoot promo that they had not agreed to. He called him out on some things, and... on the mic in camera, and you know he got mad that
Phil's never done that before.
Right. So he calls everybody soft, but he couldn't handle a couple shots from Hangman on a mic. You know, it's just kind of lame, dude. I don't know.
I do like that he does speak truth to power, though. We talked about that.
Yeah.
And he has said that too. I like anybody who doesn't give a fuck, and so there is that part of him that I can appreciate. I just don't understand why you would have this beef with the locker room. Like, Matt and Nick Jackson are two of the nicest dudes I've ever met in my life. And they love wrestling, and they're soft-spoken, and they're chill. You know what I mean? Like, So if you have beef with them, it might be you.
Right.
That's kind of my point.
Yeah, you know exactly. What I mean? That's always in my stance with this whole dilemma. It's like, I met the Bucks. They treated me like one of the family, and they didn't have to. They didn't even know who I was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they treated me perfectly fine. I've heard nothing but shitty stories from Punk. Congratulations on winning your match, you know, with the two other guys, FTR, who are, by the way, better than you, and carried you throughout that match. But congrats.
Is he watching this right now?
I hope he is. Comedy Store, Hollywood, California. Not hard to find.
Not that hard.
All right. Anyway, moving along, back to my notes.
Wait, before we move on,
yeah.
Since I know you're a straight shooter, you know, Vince is famous for putting guys in the ring who, you know, like Edge and Hardy and Lita. Hmm. Would you put CM Punk either against Hangman, Omega,
100%.
Tag match with the Bucks?
Yeah, that has to happen 100%. Eventually.
Because I think that, I mean, there is London coming up.
Yeah.
And I know
London would be the perfect place for that match. It won't happen, though, brother. It's all, you know, people wonder if it's a work. It's not a work. It's a shoot.
It's not a work. I will give the Bucks props on their amazing tweet response, which they changed their bio on Twitter to, if this was 2018, we would already have a counterfeit Bucks t-shirt on PWT.
Yeah, what happened to their t-shirt game, bro? They fell off.
They're too busy buying Jordans. Yeah, man. Their sneaker game is on point, yeah.
And, you know, at the end it said, good luck, y'all. I mean, that shows you right there. Like, even them, they're like, look, we hate this dude, but best of luck. Fucking do your thing. And they're willing to continue being in the same company as long as you keep them apart. Part of me wishes they would settle the beef and have that massive match just to get it out.
I think they will, because I feel like wrestling is built on this stuff.
Yeah.
And the bag will be big. You know what I mean?
A huge bag.
And everyone
I'll
will get paid.
For that.
I'll pay for that. Like, you know, it'll happen. The question is, like, will it happen while it's relevant? I'm not sure. I don't see it happening soon, is kind of my point, you know.
And then I have to talk a little bit about the Forbidden Door 2. We have, it's this Saturday?
Sunday.
They've only announced 4 matches, which is very, very unusual for AEW, who usually has about 27 matches.
Yeah.
But the matches we have announced are, I believe, the Forbidden Door we wanted in the first place, that we were robbed from because of injury, because of time restraints, travel restraints, whatever it was. But having Danielson and Okada in a ring together, to me, that's the nerdiest thing ever. Like, I can't fucking wait to see that match. I'm very excited for that one. Ospreay and Omega 2, we already know it's going to be a classic. Who do you think is going to win this one?
I want you to give me an honest opinion of my booking.
Let's hear your booking, dude.
Now, I don't like how WWE has done Rhodes dirty, in my opinion. You know, you have them lose at WrestleMania.
Predictable, nonetheless. But
jobs to Lesnar the next night. But I think you could spin that where you do that to Ospreay.
Mm.
Omega beats him again at Forbidden Door. So he's kind of chasing Omega. And then in London, Ospreay wins in his hometown or home country. I think that's that their WrestleMania moment where, you know, Ospreay holding the belt up, bombs going off, explosions. That's how I would do it.
Mm.
And, you know, I mean, do you see that as...
What belt are we referring to when we say...
The United States IWGP.
The IWGP United States belt. Yeah, that's a great booking to me. And that should be probably the way it goes down.
Probably
won't. How do you
have
Ospreay losing twice and make it interesting for a third?
Well, I think maybe it's a...
Maybe a Don Callis appearance or some sort of...
Yeah, wacky. Yeah. Someone turns on someone.
But I just like the idea of the payoff of Ospreay winning in London. Like, that to me is... Money.
It's a no-brainer. Because I think Ospreay in America is still... He's not unknown, but, like, he's not completely over with anyone outside of Supermarch.
The promo that he did with Kenny recently where he, you know, was just dropping F-bombs in his face and he kind of... strutted all the way across that stage and got in his face with his microphone and said exactly what was on his heart and mind and cussed him out and made it look like the realest. Like, it felt like almost right. like a Conor McGregor type of presser moment. And it was Will Ospreay. And I thought to myself, this guy should never go to WWE or ever go to AEW, because without that leash on, the work that he's doing right now is some of the best in the world. And so, yeah, he should absolutely win the IWGP Championship. He should be their champion in right. Japan and across the world, the international champion that you are when you become the IWGP United States Champion. So, but yeah, really compelling stuff from Ospreay.
Because I think the interesting thing is, like, last week was the perfect go-home show. You know, the way Ospreay came out, no one really thought he was going to come out. They probably thought it was going to be this week. So I'm interested to see on Dynamite what their final, hey, by this pay-per-view, here's another moment. Because the perfect go-home moment was last week. So
what a chaotic fucking ending to that Dynamite.
What did you guys think about it? There was, like, a lot of controversy online about people's reception of the booking of that, the end of that show.
It was obviously overbooked. But, you know, it was still cool because we got all these, you know, hey, here's Ospreay, here's all these different people coming in.
AEW tends to be overbooked, yeah. It's fair to say.
They've got too much talent on the bill. It's going to happen eventually, you know? Yeah.
But I thought it was great because you didn't think Ospreay was going to come last week. Oh, they'll save him for this week.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, I really...
What do you think about Forbidden Door just basically being like this, just one relationship between the two companies? Like, you know, I think... Don't you think there needs to be some more AAA or CMLL or...
Well, you know, I know that New Japan doesn't like certain Mexican companies.
Yeah, but if you're Tony Khan and you got the bag, it's like,
I mean, yeah,
it feels like the show is just New Japan. It should be called New Japan versus AEW,
right? Yeah, there should be other involvement. I mean, I still hold hope that maybe in a few years we'll see Forbidden Door with WWE involved a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, that would be to me the biggest way to make this pay per view be a legendary one is if they were to bring in Gunther.
I mean,
this pay per view.
Yeah, they have WWE has worked. They've worked with New Japan, so I feel like there's potential that something could be worked out, especially if the money is right. A place like Wembley. But, I mean, that's a different show. That's fantasy booking. By the way, I think Ospreay wins at Forbidden Door. And I think at Wembley, we have a triple, like the third, whatever you call it, the rubber match. And that's where you bring in Ibushi for Omega. I don't know exactly how we work that in there.
We could have the Bucks maybe turn on Omega. I mean, right. I know everyone knows they're best friends in real life, but, like, you know, I could see...
That's the only way to bring Ibushi in, is have Omega feel alone and like, oh, I lost my friends. Who's the only person I can trust? My golden lover.
That's actually a good point.
Yeah. I'd lose my mind.
Yeah, I bet you would. You're all giddy over there right now.
I'm on a plane to London, man. Well, but I mean, I think my only problem with AEW is they tend to cater to the super marks, so a lot of people... Like casual or semi-casual fans, they don't know anything about the Golden Lovers. So you've got to somehow bring him in.
Let me make an argument against that, though. There has been something so special about AEW booking for the people that are there, right? The 12,000 people who show up for these shows on Wednesday nights, because the product is so hot in the house. And when you watch it on TV, you see the amount of heat coming through your television screen. WWE audiences on TV look really bored.
Right.
Everything's being played to hard cam. They're all just sitting there being either red lit or blue lit, and they're just kind of waiting for commercial breaks. And what I found AEW's done a really good job of is making everybody there, including all the super fans who want to see the cool shit from Japan and all the crossovers and storylines that they only know about, they're the ones reacting on TV. They're the ones losing their shit. So it's cool to make them pop, because then your TV audience goes, man, those 12,000 people are really having a blast. Right. Yeah, you know what I mean? And so WWE can learn from that.
That's why they pump in audio, because they know that if I'm home and I hear boos, I'm going to be like, ooh, oh, they're booing him.
Right.
But then if I watch, well, I see that they're not really booing him.
Here's a novel idea, Eddie. How about you get them to actually boo?
Right. Yeah, that'd be nice. Yeah. All right, moving on from there, we also have Sonata versus Jungle Boy? Yeah, what are you doing?
I'm confused by that one, too.
What are you doing?
I'm super stoked for Jack Perry, though. I think
great for him, but like, what is that match?
Also, it just doesn't make sense if you're an audience member. Like,
right.
What?
Yeah, why? Yeah. Also, MJF versus Tanahashi. Look, I love the ace. Go ace. I love Tanahashi. MJF doesn't need the rub from Tanahashi at all. I think Jungle Boy needs that rub. I think it's a better
move.
You
would have went Jungle Boy Ace.
Jungle Boy Ace, MJF Sonata. Get the two world champions.
But then you
couldn't. No title match. Just fucking.
Well, that's the tough part, right? Because I think the Jack is actually challenging for the title. So you have the potential, you know, that he might win a championship or that, you know, obviously it's not going
to
happen.
Here's some fantasy booking that is never going to happen, but how I would like to do it. If we're having this battle between AEW and WWE and AEW is looking for a leg up, strengthen your relationship with New Japan and have the title for title match. Unite it. And whoever wins is now the world champ in both companies and has to travel, have that world champion thing where he has to, like the old school days, you know, the world champion has to travel to defend his belt in both companies. I would do that. It would never happen, but that's what I would have done.
Yeah, but after that promo that that Max cut on New Japan being an indie fed, there's like no chance they're even going to let him anywhere near their heavyweight title.
So here's a rumor. Here's a rumor that I read that I thought was very interesting and I kind of almost buy. So MJF cut a promo at the end calling him an indie fed and said, I'm not going to show up. It won't be the first time I haven't shown up. What if MJF doesn't show up and they put Punk in there?
Or against Tanahashi.
Yeah. We were supposed to have Punk Tanahashi in the first Forbidden Door.
Yeah.
So
I like that. Because there's really, like, he's in the start of a feud with Adam Cole. There's been no interaction between him and Tanahashi.
It's so predictable. Like, we know Tanahashi's not winning that match. Who's excited for that match?
It does feel like Jack's match is predictable, too.
Yeah, he's not going like, to become IWGP champ.
Is there any suspense?
None.
Even the other matches, is there anything?
Well, I want to see, I guess, Danielson Okada just to see who the best in the world is. Like, that
there's
suspense.
Some suspense there, for sure. Yeah. And then whoever wins that match is a cool, you know, it can go either way, but it's cool.
And then Omega, Ospreay, we have the drama with their story.
Right.
But the other two, the championship matches, don't give a fuck about them.
Yeah.
So I would make MJF, how much heel heat would MJF get for not showing up?
Like,
just
no
showing. Just fuck you guys. I'm not going. Figure it out.
Yeah.
I think that'd be great.
Yeah, I mean, this Forbidden Door for me is a little, like, it's lacking something. Like, I'm excited about it. I'm obviously going to order it. But
we haven't heard a Punk match yet, right?
I think there is no Punk match
yet. And then
no
Kenta's out on that?
Kenta won't happen. And, you know, it pisses me off because that should be the match. And do it for the move.
People have wanted it for 15 years.
Yeah. But maybe it will happen. I mean, you know, I think Dynamite's going to be really interesting.
They have to announce a couple more matches is kind of my point, right?
They have to on Wednesday.
So there's got to be something that hasn't been announced yet.
You got to have United Empire. Like, you know, maybe Bucks, them and
the Bucks. The Bucks aren't on the card.
The Bucks are not on the card.
Yet.
Damn, but I can see them in United Empire.
Yeah, like, that's a move.
Davis is out, but...
But why would you only have, like, three public matches, like, 10 days before the...
It's, you know...
It's a little strange.
It's wild. It goes to show the chaos backstage with Tony trying to run everything on his own.
Yeah.
And I know that he has been getting help. Apparently, Bryan Danielson's been helping out a lot, and Dax Harwood's been helping out a lot. So, I get it, but... Yeah, we're like a few days away, and we still don't have the full card.
Call me, Tony.
One match that has been...
Oh, my God. Yeah. You and me.
We'll just do it together.
But, like, it's not that difficult. Like, look at the storyline we came up for Ospreay. It's like, it took us a minute.
Yeah. Most compelling shit they've done all year.
Tell me, that shot of him and Wembley Stadium with the bombs and shit going off, and he's, like, cutting a heel speech on someone new. I mean, dude, it's...
Yeah.
Come on, Khan.
Yeah, this match hasn't been confirmed, but apparently it might. It's like gonna happen. Is Orange Cassidy versus Zack Sabre Jr.
Oh yeah,
that should be fun.
That'll be cool. Forbidden Door.
I
like that.
I love Zack Sabre Jr. You know, I think he's got potential to be historically one of the best in the world. Also, just technicality wise, you know, the innovations that he does with the moves and the holds and all the things. And also,
his IQ too, his wrestling IQ for the business is crazy good.
So that's an exciting one. But we'll see. Hopefully Wednesday we'll get some more announcements.
How about this? Like, it's not Punk, Tanahashi. Goldberg comes out. Like, that's for, like, the casual fans that would, like, go, oh my God, he's back.
Who would you do Goldberg Suzuki?
Oh, no. I mean, yeah, I would.
That would be the match, right?
You just confused my brain.
I'm sorry.
I'm hurting.
Like, they need us. Like, I think they need.
I was like, no, I don't want to. Wait a minute. I do.
But that's a water cooler moment on Monday. Did you see Goldberg's back? Like,
yeah.
And he's got a short run in him, like maybe over in London too, something.
Yeah.
But, like, I'd mark out for him and Suzuki.
Goldberg and Ryback.
Jesus. That was Ryback tweeted. I'm like, oh, I don't want to see that.
No.
How does Ryback look these days?
He's still jacked. I mean, also equally as awful of a human being.
Yeah.
I don't know. I will see. I mean,
I can go on about Ryback, brother, for hours.
Goldberg, I think they should save for Wembley. I don't think they should bring him to home for Forbidden Door. They need the star power for Wembley, I think.
Yeah.
Well, they really don't because it's 90%.
It's already sold out. Yeah.
Pretty much.
You deliver, though. You do have to deliver.
You do have
100%.
You know what I mean?
I think how you book Goldberg is...
Is he going to AEW or something? I know it's just rumor, but like...
He wants to... He's not doing WWE anymore, so he's got to go somewhere to retire.
I mean, he's really the last...
Probably should just go to pasture, right?
Imagine him in PWG. Him and like...
Brother. We had Chris Jericho on our last show.
I know, I saw
that. Dude, Chris Jericho wrestled at PWG. It was the craziest.
That could be a London match, him and Jericho, because you know they don't like each other that much.
Yeah.
You know, there's always heat. I wouldn't mind a 10-minute match.
Who's Chris working for Forbidden Door?
There haven't been any...
Well, they've hinted at Sting.
Yeah, he's feuding with Sting right now.
What, they just hit each other's bats?
Yeah.
I mean, that was kind of cool.
You can't have that match in 2023, brother.
Listen, Sting is my guy.
I know I just booked Ultimate Warrior versus Sting or whatever on commentary, whatever I was doing earlier.
No, you have Jericho and Sammy and Sting and Darby.
Yeah.
That's how you make that.
That has nothing really to do.
You mean protect him in a tag match or something?
No. Yeah, that would be a...
Yeah, where's the Forbidden Door?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, London, I could see that. I wouldn't mind...
That actually makes sense for London, dude. You got if you were going to do that match, you do that in England.
Who's a big name in New Japan that Jericho hasn't already faced? Because he faced Naito, I believe.
Yeah.
He had a feud with Omega, obviously, but he's done Suzuki. I mean, I really don't know. I don't know who he would put
I think he wrestled Suzuki too, right?
Yeah, he wrestled Suzuki. I think he's wrestled Ishii. I don't know. I don't know how you would put Jericho in there. You got to have him at the Forbidden Door.
It's almost like everybody got taken out of New Japan and they're all just in AEW now. So you have like your few staple guys, you know, the Ace and those guys, but they're already taken for this pay per view.
Yeah.
What about like Claudio? What's like, you know, you got to
have Miro. Miro doesn't have a match.
Yeah. There's a lot of talent. Again, there's only 4 matches announced.
Yeah, there's definitely not a shortage.
What's
of
happening,
talent.
Dude?
But I hate it when they do this week of shit because then you don't care who.
No
wins
one cares.
Wins.
No one cares.
Like, yeah, there's no story behind it. It's just surprise. Check this out. I don't know.
Like the top two, you do care. Like Okada.
Yeah, those big. I got hyped because I'm like, if these are the first 2 matches announced, you know, there's some more exciting
they
shit
just,
coming.
They put their bangers out first, apparently.
Yeah. I don't know.
Now, would you leave those 2 matches at the end?
You talking about Okada Danielson
and Omega Ospreay? Or do you
I don't know
put
who,
one of them
who goes
up front?
On after Okada Danielson. If you don't put Okada Danielson last, it has to be first. You can't. It has to be either the curtain jerker, which is what we call it.
Yeah, there's got
to
be a championship at the end, so it's got to be the curtain jerker,
right?
Yeah,
because it also sets it'll set the tone for the show.
Everybody be hyped.
But you can't put them in the co-main because then your main event's gonna look like shit after those two.
Even if it's Ospreay Omega.
But you need to have a championship.
But that's the
as
thing,
a main event,
I would
right?
I would separate those on the card a little more. I'd put a popcorn match between them at the very least, you know.
So a women's match?
There's no.
I would never say something like that.
How
dare you?
There is
you?
No women's match that's exciting, though. The one that was exciting was Mercedes Moné, but she's injured.
Is she injured?
Yeah, she broke her ankle at the show we went to.
So that would have been like, they would have probably put like her versus Toni Storm or something like that, right?
Dude,
or,
her and Jade Cargo would be amazing. But injury. So now we have Willow. Willow will be, but see, that's the thing. Willow's the New Japan champion, but she's obviously an AEW star.
Right.
So that's kind of weird. Like, where does she fit in this whole scenario?
I don't know.
In Earl's bed, apparently, because he likes
it. I'm a Dewdrop. I like the bigger girl.
Oh, you do? Yeah. Dewdrop. Didn't they got rid of that stupid name, right?
Piper Niven.
Good, yeah.
You know, like this, you know.
It's another thing.
Like a big girl.
Yeah, I'm down. Whatever. All right, let's move along. We're running out of time. WWE.
Anyway, how about the Bloodline? They're killing it.
That's actually where I'm going. Bloodline Civil War is on. This past week, we finally had Jey Uso make his decision to super kick Roman Reigns in the face. Not before doing a swerve, before trying to convince us that he was going to turn on his brother. Yelling at Jimmy for not believing in him as the right-hand man and all that stuff, main event Jey. But we finally got Jey super kicking Roman, and then they both super kicked Solo. So we're getting at Money in the Bank. Roman and Solo versus Jimmy and Jey Uso, the Usos, the Civil War. It's happening.
Mm.
I hope they dress up like Iron Man and Captain America or something.
Oh, that'd be cool. Yeah.
I mean, they've got the money to make that production.
Yeah, yeah.
Where are you at with this story? I know, Earl, you've already been kind of like, it's long in the tooth. You're not really feeling it. For me, I've always felt that this was the story. A lot of people are like, oh, it's Sammy. It's like, no. They elevated Sammy along the way and helped him out with his career with, you know, coming from being caught in a giant mousetrap with Johnny Knoxville to being a main eventer again. So they helped him elevate him. But this wasn't Sammy's story. This is the Usos. This is the Bloodline story. And people forgot that along the way.
Yeah. I agree with Earl that it's a little long in the tooth. It just feels like they've teased the same few things over and over. It's still the best thing in wrestling. I think that Jey Uso is one of the best actors in wrestling.
Dude, so good.
And it happened out of nowhere. I thought when they first started cutting their day one promos and stuff like that, a lot of it was just a little too, like, you know, like hood, like who they really are. There wasn't enough compelling moments of letting their faces breathe, letting the story breathe, letting the words really register with the audience. That's changed. Like, everything they say is compelling. I don't want to miss a thing. I go on Twitter and try to watch every single clip because I don't watch SmackDown or Raw. But
I recommend also Hulu does smaller versions of the shows.
Oh, yeah. That's still too long for
still
me.
Still too long?
Yeah, yeah.
Me too.
Yeah. But just to give credit where credit is due, like, people don't realize, you know, or people don't want to admit that this business, the wrestling business, is the acting business.
Mm-hmm.
And the guys who are best with what they're given are the ones who are going to be the stars. And Roman used to be an absolutely horrendous actor, whether the Suffering Succotash days and, like, all of that. Like, he couldn't cut a promo to save his life. He's one of the best promos in the game right now. His brothers, or his cousins, who are twin brothers, are two incredible promos right now. To me, this is a cool little another part of the story, this war match between the two of them. It should always be ending with Jey winning the world championship. That's how I would book it. It was never going to be Sammy. I love Sammy, but he's not a world champion. Jey has, to me, elevated into the ultimate babyface. But it is getting to a point now, maybe by intention, that it's difficult not to feel bad for Roman Reigns, the character, who is just getting beat up by all of his friends
and
constantly.
Family. Friends and family.
Friends and family. And you look at Roman, you're like, shit, dude. Like, am I supposed to feel bad for this dude? So the audience hasn't gotten there yet. They still think he's a piece of shit, which is good because that's what you've pushed. But I'm curious to see when it is going to start registering for everybody that, like, Roman, maybe we should feel bad for this guy. Like, all of his friends are leaving him. You know?
I feel like that's the eventual move, is to make Roman a face. Because
right.
Everybody's now, you know, you want to, he's a heel, you boo him, but you look at the crowd and the ones are up.
Yeah.
Every time he comes out.
Yeah.
Like, even myself. Like, I hated Roman years back. And I was like, oh, I wish he would just stay off. It's kind of like the Punk thing. And then he won me over. And now, you know, even though he's a heel and he's a piece of shit, the one goes up. The one has to go up. You have to acknowledge the tribal chief. And you go back, man, it wasn't that long ago when you had Baron Corbin pouring dog food on him.
Mm. That was his last singles loss.
Dude, think about that.
Was in that.
The best number one guy in the company a couple years back was getting dog food poured on him by Baron Corbin, who had to get pushed back down to NXT.
Isn't that crazy?
Tough business. Welcome to comedy, Baron. See you, brother.
And I love Baron, man. Good dude.
Yes.
But anyway, aside from the Bloodline story, which now there's a match at Money in the Bank, the Judgment Day is the second best thing in WWE programming, I would say, with Dom and Rhea and Balor and Priest. But there seems to be some
Did you see that Rhea Ripley IG story yesterday?
Which one?
Did you not see it, bro?
I did not. Which one?
Oh, my God. So she reposted, someone tagged her on Instagram, and they fucking nutted on her picture, and she reposted.
What?
That was not me.
I mean,
that's a real story, bro.
She knows exactly what
she's
doing.
She knows what she's doing. She's a fucking genius. She's the best female wrestler in the world now and in the last 15 years.
Yes.
You know, respect to Charlotte and all that, but Rhea's just the GOAT. And the fact that she's also, like, such a troll and so smart makes her sexier. You know?
Absolutely, man.
She's got it.
She's got it.
I don't know what all it is. It.
She's got every category of it.
But like, you just can't keep your eyes off her. Like, I don't know if it's the makeup.
Was debating yesterday whether she knew or whether she was naive about retweeting the photos.
Like, no, of course she knew.
No one's that naive, dude.
What she's doing. She knows exactly.
She's so smart.
I said it here when she won the belt recently, not too long. Was it Mania?
She is
the greatest women's champion I've ever seen.
She's just so believable in the ring in ways that I, you know, not to shit on Charlotte, but like, you know, I told you in the beginning of the pod, like, I love believability and I believe a lot of what she's doing.
Yeah.
And I also, who else can be a heel in one segment with Dom and be a face when defending their championship and have everybody cheering for them?
Or even in the same segment, like, she's done promos with Dom where she talks, the crowd starts chanting, "Mommy, Mommy," and then she's like, "And Dom," and it's like, "Boo!"
Yeah.
Like, immediately, she's got both.
She's got both.
It's crazy. But anyway, they're teasing a rift between Balor and Priest. They've shown Balor talking to his student, J.D. McDonagh, and, you know, rumors are like, oh, he's going to bring him into the Judgment Day. I think it's going to be a little more like what they did to Edge. I think someone's going to kick Balor out, and it's either Priest or McDonagh.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's getting kicked out of the same group, and it's like, how much kicking out can you do? You know,
it's Balor is Bullet Club guy, and that's what they do in Bullet Club. They always kick the leader out.
That's true.
So I feel like that's where it's going. I think Balor will be kicked. I think maybe JD gets elevated, becomes the new leader of Judgment Day, takes it, and JD just becomes another member. I don't know, but I would like to see Balor. Tonight on Raw, he beat the shit out of Rollins and challenged for the, you know, he's challenging for the World Heavyweight title at Money in the Bank.
But I want to see a return. Like the NXT guy, what's his
Braun
name?
Ron Breakker.
Yeah, but is he challenging for the championship?
He's doing it tomorrow. He's not going to win, obviously, right. You know, but they're trying to elevate NXT and make it more watchable, it's working because, I mean, I'm going to watch that Seth Rollins-Braun Breakker match.
Well, yeah.
I wouldn't watch any other Braun Breakker match.
You think Braun has no shot?
He's not winning that belt. No, hell right. No. There's no way. There's no way that's happening.
Unless Rollins is in the doghouse.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't even think Balor's winning it. And Balor should win it from Rollins. But I think it's too soon to take it off Rollins right now.
I think Rollins will lose it sooner than you think.
Really?
Yeah.
Hopefully to Balor. Opinion. I'm a big Balor mark.
So are you?
Yeah, I'm a big Balor mark.
What if they put him with Gallows and Anderson and you have like a Bullet Club faction?
Boo, man, I would jizz all over my screen and post it on an Instagram story.
Maybe he's the guy, we'll share it, dude.
I'll share that.
But yeah, man, we'll see what happens at the Judgment Day. Again, I think they are the second best thing on TV right now, and aside from the Bloodline story, just because of all the elements with Rhea and Dom and Balor, and I'm excited to see where that goes. Money in the Bank is coming. It's not this coming weekend, but the following weekend. So far, we've got LA Knight, Ricochet, Shinsuke Nakamura, Santos Escobar, Butch, and Damian Priest in the men's ladder match. And then tonight, for some reason, Logan Paul's in the match too. And just because he's famous?
For some reason.
Yeah, because he's famous and he's got money. Like, all the other people had to fucking qualify for it.
Yeah, no, he doesn't. No, he's definitely going to win too, which is unfortunate, but it's like, as soon as I saw the six guys and I knew there was going to be a seventh, I was like, it's going to be Logan Paul and he's going to win the match, which leads me to believe that maybe they'll put it on my buddy Sean, LA Knight, which I think is what the audience wants. So I think if he's the one to go up there and bip Logan Paul off the top of that ladder,
they're going to lose
their shit. And then you have a day player who's been elevated, right?
Yeah.
With, again, the best promo in the game, in my opinion. Like, as big of a star as Logan Paul is, he doesn't have a great promo.
No.
And you end up with LA Knight carrying that briefcase every freaking Monday, every freaking Friday to threaten the champions. And it's just better for business, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Otherwise, it's like Logan Paul will come twice over the next 6 months, and he'll threaten both times. One time he'll give it to the referee, then the referee will get bipped, and he won't cash it in. And the second time he'll actually cash it in and win the title. And then, you know, him with the World Heavyweight title is probably good for the company. But I like what's good for entertainment.
I think the fans will turn on it.
How do you turn? They already hate the guy.
Yeah, well,
he's pretty hateable.
Yeah,
I just don't see they have a problem because. Nobody wants him as a champ, but you can't also have him continuously lose. He's been losing continuously, Logan Paul.
Right.
So if he keeps losing, then he's going to people are going to stop caring.
It's I not thought with Jake's care. Loss to whoever he lost to in the boxing match,
yeah,
I thought that them as a tag team would have been pretty cool, like a New Day match, you know, or a match with, you know, the Usos. So that's what I would have went with it, but it sounds like they're going with World Heavyweight title on Logan Paul.
You know? Tommy Fury.
Tommy Fury, yep.
But that was a pretty close match.
Jake Paul must not be able to wrestle. I bet you he's just trash at wrestling. Logan is good, by the way. Like, I'll tell you, like, he's very good. And Jake must just not be that good, because it's why they wouldn't have booked him yet. Why not, you know?
Yeah.
Well, free paychecks for him. When he fought Ben Askren, I'm like, oh, if you let Askren wrestle, he'll kill Jake Paul.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they probably told him, hey, you can only box. And Askren was known as a bit of a pillow puncher for an MMA fighter.
For sure.
So, you know, I always felt bad for Askren because he got thrown to the wolves. Like, here, you can't do what you're best at. You can go box him. Like,
he can cry in his million-dollar bag or whatever it is that he got for that fight.
Women's match, we've got Io Sky, Bayley, Zoe Stark, Zelina Vega, Becky Lynch, with two more of them being decided tonight on Raw, which I haven't seen yet, so I can't really tell you who won. I don't know. I think Trish beat Raquel Rodriguez, so maybe Trish is in it, and I'm assuming...
I saw Trish won.
Huh?
I saw it. You're right. Trish won.
Trish won.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the other one is, but, I mean, I don't really... it's either Becky or Bayley. You know, I would love it for it to be Io Sky so we can get Io Sky versus Asuka, but I just don't think that's happening.
I think it was Awesome Kong. She came back. Old school.
And then the other match we have on that show is going to be Cody versus Dom Dom. A lot of people on the internet saying shit like, oh, this is a downgrade. They're fucking up Cody with the story. I'm like, what? How do you not put your number one heel right now? Because I'm sorry, it may be Roman, but the amount of heat that Dom is getting where he can't even talk on the mic... he's the number one heel in the business right now, I think. And how do you not put him against your number one babyface? I mean, it makes sense to me. Cody will go in to destroy Dom and move along.
Yeah. I mean, Dom has what we call X-Pac heat, which is like not ideal. I think Roman has, Heisman Trophy winner heat, right?
Yeah.
And Maxwell, Jacob Friedman has that same type of heat.
That's true.
So I don't really put Dom on top of those guys in terms of the ranking, the pecking order. And I do think it's a downgrade for Cody to have to wrestle Dom in this position. And I do think that they're fumbling the bag with Cody.
You think time. So?
Oh, yeah.
I think it's
And it seems intentional to me, too.
Oh, really? I'm telling you, they're giving him the elongated sting treatment of, oh, you started AEW, you hurt our business to some degree. I'm sure they did.
Yeah.
Come on over. We'll take care of you.
I didn't sign my paperwork at SummerSlam when I worked in a Kane versus Bray Wyatt match as a fireman, because Mark Carano's bitch ass told me that I didn't have to sign that day. No big deal. We'll get you done tomorrow at Raw. And the next night at Raw, he asked me in front of Johnny Ace and Vince McMahon why I didn't have my fucking paperwork signed. And I told him, I called him out because that's who I am. You know, I was like, you told me not to sign it. You told me I should just get to the ring for rehearsal. And then I would sign it later. And then that night I got slapped to shit by Ryback so hard that the other side of my jaw fucking hurt.
What the fuck?
Yeah, I got hit in the left side of the face, and the right side of my face was in a ton of pain. And then they never called me back, you know? And so the idea that Cody would be punished for his transgressions in working with PWG or starting one of the great wrestling companies of all time isn't far-fetched.
Oh, I mean,
Yeah.
That Monday Night Raw when Lesnar's just killing him, I'm like, oh, they're burying this guy. Like,
bro, that segment was one of the most pathetic segments I've seen in pro wrestling in a long time. Yeah.
I got Sting flashbacks of, oh.
You know, Cody, he's not like a friend of mine or anything. I've worked with him before. He's definitely a hard worker. He seems like a good dude, good dad, which is an important thing for me. But I don't know what he was thinking, man. You know, maybe first of all, he should have never said that he was incapable of winning the AEW title, that he was whatever.
Right, he put the stipulation on himself.
Yeah. Right, and then he goes there, and it just, the writing's on the wall doesn't look great to me. It doesn't look great.
I'll play devil's advocate, and I'll say Cody's never been bigger.
Yep, that's because of Cody.
Right, but he's never been bigger
and
now.
You can also take that and fucking shit all over it, which it seems like that's what they're doing.
Maybe. Or maybe they're doing the Dusty Rhodes hard time story with him. Have him fucking have a hard time to get to that belt. And then when he gets the belt, it's all the more sweeter. I'm just being optimistic because I love Cody. half Cuban, had to represent my Cuban family there. Amen, he also put me into the Bullet Club, so I give him props for that one. I love Cody Rhodes. I am trying to be optimistic and thinking they're trying to make this the hard time story and for the eventual payoff. Should they have pulled the trigger at 39? Sure. Absolutely. It would have been huge. Everybody would have been great. Hollywood, everybody, hands in the air. But I don't think it's a complete burial like you guys are thinking. I think you're both a couple of jaded old dudes.
100%.
Fuck yeah.
And I'm older than you by a decade. They're burying him. Like, yeah. It's a slow burn, you know. And
we'll see. Hopefully you guys are wrong. I'm trying to be positive.
I hope I'm wrong. You can't tell me that Vince and Triple H look at him and go, he cost us money. He took
a specific shot at Triple H with the fucking sledgehammer.
The sledgehammer on the chair, the throne or whatever.
Yeah. So, you know, there's no way. It sucks. It's like.
Yeah. And I probably should have put this note in earlier because it's not as exciting as everything we've talked about. We should end it here. But I need to mention Buff Ari Shaffir is back tonight on Raw. Tommaso Ciampa made his comeback. So.
Buff Ari Shaffir. I've never heard of
that. I was like, what? Look Ari Shaffir was on Raw? No, he shows balls?
Go look at pictures of Tommaso Ciampa right now. He looks like a buff Ari Shaffir. but he's back. I'm happy for him. I'm glad all the surgeries and recoveries have been recovered. You know, everything's great.
Hopefully they don't fuck it up this time.
And no, he came in and destroyed The Miz immediately. So I'm like, good. He doesn't need The Miz. Like, he was wearing the fucking Pokemon card and shit. I was like, what the fuck was that about? So hopefully it all works out. I think we're probably going to get DIY.
Yeah.
We're probably going to get a DIY in the main roster.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. So that's exciting. That's all I have for tonight. We've gone long. Let's end it. Christian, let these people know in that camera right there where they can find you.
What 30-second promo you want me to cut?
Let's see what you got.
Let's see what you got, bro. Cut a promo on yourself.
Follow me on all the social medias at Christian Cole or at Xtian Cole on the different social medias. I run a real estate company, so if you're interested in purchasing real estate in the greater Los Angeles or even all of California, you could find me and we could do business together. And I think a big company should hire me. I think I'm done fucking waiting. You know, I've been doing this for 15 years. I think I'm one of the best ring announcers that's available in this business. I think I'm a pretty good commentator, and I'm a hell of a heel manager. And there's a lot of guys who need the gift of gab next to them and a good actor. And if you don't believe that this business is about acting, then you probably suck at acting. And you need to get better, because it's really all about that. And the people who are kicking the most ass are the ones who are acting and making it compelling and making it interesting. So that's my bit of advice to all the young guys getting in. So
I back that. I think we need more managers. We've talked about it here many times. I know Earl wants to be one. I think both companies need more heel managers or managers, period. I miss the good old days of, you know, I saw the documentary that went up with Macho Man where he had to go in the ring and there was like five managers bidding for him to see who was going to be his manager. And I thought that was amazing. I miss that. We should have more of that for sure. Yeah. So please follow Christian. You can follow me at RRBG Podcast. I actually have a date to plug. This Saturday, June 24th, I will be at Knucklehead in Hollywood with Josh Barnett. We're doing a meet and greet. We're selling our beer that we collaborated on together, Black Blood of the Earth. You can pick it up there and you can hear live music from the band Persecutor, which is up and coming. Mysterious band, kind of like Ghost. Nobody knows who they are, their identity. It's anonymous. So it's a fun night. Come hang out with us. Earl, where can they find you?
I'll be at XPW this Saturday.
Oh, my God.
Is that real?
Oh, yeah.
No shit. What are you going to be doing there?
Last card, they had me go get the lighter fluid for Masada. Yeah,
he almost killed Masada, so.
It was crazy. They were running around.
Didn't he, like, light on fire?
Yeah.
Did you get the fucking extra strength shit or what?
Well, I told him, like, they were running around in a panic 10 minutes before his match. Hey, fuck, we didn't get any lighter fluid. Earl, will you go to 7-Eleven and get some? I'm like, I know stuntmen who do that kind of stuff. That's not where you go. You need, like, a special kind. And, like, oh, just get Zippo fluid. So I got fluid from the liquor store. Even the 7-Eleven guy was like, I'm not selling you. And I give it to Rob Black, you know, the Vince McMahon of XPW. And he's like, oh, fuck, this will have to do. And, of course, did you see the stunt where he
lit? Yeah, it was viral, dude. He was on fire for many, many seconds in a row.
And the funniest thing was...
The fuck?
I'm in the gorilla goddamn position, Earl. And the producer's like, we got to stop the show. We got to stop the show. And Rob Black just looks at me and goes, he'll be all right. So they have a card this Saturday in Pomona because they can't get permits in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And, at Earl Skakel everywhere. And,
is it the Glass House? Where do they do those
the
shows?
The Derby in Pomona.
Dude. Do you get vaccinated before you go?
No. It's insane. Like
you know, and I feel like the universe has cursed me into. I will never go to an XPW show. There's always something.
It's
like,
hardcore.
Don't.
It's crazy.
I'll go
one of these days, and it's like always something. Like this weekend, I got my own show.
Like some fan got hit in the face with a light tube last week for just talking shit to you know.
Oh, that sounds great. That sounds safe and awesome.
It's just a nice palate cleanser.
Yeah.
I'm asked to participate. Like there was this one hillbilly wrestler. He's doing like a hillbilly gym type character and. He had like ninja stars stuck in his forehead and he couldn't get them out. And Rob Black, once again, hey Earl, do you want to try getting those out of his head? I'm like, I'm really not qualified. Like, and I'm just pulling on these like ninja stars to get, and this guy's like, doesn't hurt. And Rob Black's only concern was, hey, someone's filming this, right? And like, so he made me stop. So, but it's just fun. It's so over the top. And I know deathmatch wrestling isn't for everybody.
No, not for me at all.
I mean, no, I get it.
Yeah.
Because each match gets progressively more violent, but it's just fun for me. So well, that's where I'll be.
Have fun, man.
I mean, you know, it's once every 4 months. I can hang.
I'll never be there, I guess, because every time, like I said, there's always something. I do legitimately want to go one of these days with you just to experience the madness, but... I just feel like the universe is telling me not to go. I'm going to get a shard of glass in my eye and lose my eye or something.
Well, I just like how they have like these big names. Like Taya was their first women's champion.
Yeah.
And Brian Cage has been there. And I was like, hey, do you guys have like special rules? Like, do you tell Rob I'm willing to do this, but not that? Like, you ain't fucking cutting me, bro. I'll do whatever else you want. But, you know, Brian Cage is staring at you. I would believe what he says. So,
yeah.
You know. XPW, if you like, the more macabre side of wrestling.
There it is.
All right, and please make sure to follow our show @Comedy Store Wrestling on Instagram @StoreIsWar on Twitter. We'll see you next week.